Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I dose every one of my guests individually based on their own tolerance level. So of these, 15,000 plus guests we've had 900 plus first-time cannabis users who've never touched the plant. So they're coming in completely blind, a little nervous, maybe already have some anxiety because they're sitting there with strangers. And, those are some of our most important guests, because if they don't have a good time or they get too much cannabis, we've only reinforced these old ways of thinking about edibles. But if we dose them correctly, right, they become your biggest word of mouth supporters. There's the cool factor that they went to a cannabis dinner and that they felt good about it and they're telling everyone.
Hi. Welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, it's the culinary cannabis with Travis Peterson, but first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny DeVilla.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people?
Welcome, welcome, Travis.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on, and we're going to dive right into it and take a big bite first and ask you to tell us about your mission.
So I am a cannabis chef. I'm from Canada. I moved down to the U.S. in 2021, and my mission is to help sort of educate the next generation of chefs on how to work with cannabis safely, accurately, and help them, not have to do underground events, but hopefully one day be able to host this in a restaurant setting where guests can come in and order off a menu like they would for any other dining cuisine.
You said some interesting things, which is like safely, accurately. But before we get into that, tell me about your journey as a chef.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, that's for sure. So, I spent 10 plus years in the oil and gas industry. I was actually a business developer. Yeah, no, didn't see that one coming.
No, not at all.
I was a business development manager for one of the world's largest oil companies, and I always had a passion for cooking. I moved out at an early age, taught myself the basic dishes, and always enjoyed cooking for people. Dinner time was the time of day that I turned the TV off, came home from work, turned the phone off, and kind of just focused on cooking dinner that night. So I've always had a love and passion for food. 2015, I jokingly applied for a TV show called MasterChef. I get picked and get a chance to go compete on the show. I have a very quick appearance of 2 episodes and, get to participate in something that I watched, and it was an amazing experience and I enjoyed it. And I returned back to my oil and gas job, which there was a recession beginning at the end of 2015. And I ended up getting laid off, given a severance package for about 6 months, and within that 6 month period, MasterChef was going to premiere. So I foolhardily thought 31, hey, let's try and become a chef. Let's take advantage of this window and see what we can do. And that's kind of how my culinary career began. 2018, fast forward about 2 years, Canada federally legalizes cannabis in October of 2018. So April 20th, which is the 420 holiday for cannabis, so 6 months before legalization, I decided to turn my house into a pop-up restaurant, and we have 164 people come through over a four-day period. So doing that's five seatings of – it was going to be a one-time thing. It's the only thing I've done since that day. So since that first sort of go around over 420, I've served over 15,000 people infused dining experience. I've cooked in over 70 cities and over six countries, from Canada to the U.S. to Europe this past year. So it's been an amazing, incredible journey, and it's been something where there hasn't really been a path to follow. This is kind of the frontier in the culinary world right now. Culinary cannabis has been like the forbidden fruit that, you know, wasn't really allowed into, you know, this new age sort of style of dining with multi-course, you know, dining, fine dining techniques and that. And we saw it really begin in California at a high level, Colorado, you know, when legalization took place in those states back in 2010. And it's their chefs from the U.S. that really inspired me to kind of take a stab at it. And for me, it's fulfilled everything that is missing in my life. It has brought me all the happiness, and it's awesome. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, let's put the pieces together, because you said that fulfillment, right? So yeah. Without doing the math, which came first, your love of food or the love of weed?
The love of weed. So where I come from in Canada, Vancouver, up in the Pacific Northwest, is in a province called British Columbia. And
there you go.
It is really, I think, responsible for the whole tide of the legalization movement that took place in Canada. It was always an accepted culture. Cannabis, it was a huge, business for illegal organized crime over decades of time, that the government finally said, no, let's put this money towards, you know, taxes. So cannabis was always just something that was very accepted where I came from. It was something that's always kind of been part of my life.
Now tell me about that pairing. Okay. What was the first thing that you really nailed to bring home that marriage between cannabis and culinary?
Well, I think for me, the moment was, because I didn't want to be called a cannabis chef. That very first cannabis dinner I did, we got some media attention, and I was trying to be like, in my head, this is a fad because we're just turning legal, right? It was going to fizzle out and be something that young college kids like to do. That's kind of where my mindset was, and that's just because I was drinking the Kool-Aid of propaganda and stigmas of what people thought edibles were. That first dinner series I did, we had a group that came in. So we sold tickets by the singles. So we would only take 12 people per seating. This one table, you know, we had people from all different walks of life, cultures, ages, looking at them on paper. Okay, they have nothing in common. So I said to my team, we need to engage at this table. We need to talk to them. We can't let them sit there silently. We don't want them going to their phones. And this table didn't need us. They all came together. They all started trading stories. Someone who was, you know, in their mid-60s telling these young 20-year-olds about, you know, her time as a 21-year-old. And, like, I just had a moment standing in the kitchen listening. And I just said, wow, there is something really beautiful here that really opens up a table of strangers. Really, there's a sharing aspect that comes along with cannabis. And when dosed properly, right? When dosed properly, it's not, you know, I think one of the things that's really set me out from a lot of other people is I dose every one of my guests individually based on their own tolerance level. So of these, you know, 15,000 plus guests we've had 900 plus first-time cannabis users who've never touched the plant. So they're coming in completely blind, a little nervous, maybe already have some anxiety because they're sitting there with strangers. And, you know, those are some of our most important guests, because if they don't have a good time or they get too much cannabis, we've only reinforced these old ways of thinking about edibles. But if we dose them correctly, right, they become your biggest word of mouth supporters. There's the cool factor that they went to a cannabis dinner and that they felt good about it and they're telling everyone. So, you know, I'm focusing on the terpene profiles in the plant. I want to heighten your sensories. I want to hit that perfect medium for you so that, like, you know, the food, the music, the ambiance, everything just is
the vibe,
a little bit more heightened, right? Absolutely, the vibe.
Tell me a little about the role that the environment plays in this experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, getting started, the thing right now, like, cannabis still legally can't be served in a restaurant setting, right?
Okay.
And anytime you take cannabis into an actual restaurant, start cooking with it, you may put that restaurant's liquor license at jeopardy, right? So I've never had the opportunity to go into an actual restaurant and sit down and put this together like that, right?
Okay.
I've been able to do private venues where, you know, our private events where venues are shut down, but open to the public, we can't do that. So the way I've done this was renting luxury Airbnbs and turning them into my pop-up restaurant. So I would get the permission of the owner. Hey, I'm going to have two dinner parties, one on Friday night, one on Saturday night. None of the guests are staying in here. We're just going to have them come between 6 and 9 p.m. I don't serve any alcohol, right? None of my guests get to hang out before and after. They're only here for the dinner, and then they leave. And, you know, I've got over 120 Airbnb reviews now about this chef that came in and used my house with respect. So I've built that reputation now where not many Airbnb owners say no to me. So we put together that dinner party feeling, you know, people are coming to a house. It's not in a restaurant. It's a bunch of strangers. It's a little more comforting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also exciting because our guests also don't really know where they're going, right? We don't tell
more
them
intimate.
Until a week before, right? It's an experience.
As far as ingredients, do you use butters, oils? Do you directly put the cannabis into certain dishes? How does it all work?
Yeah, so I'll make everything from scratch. Depending on which state we're in, which brand we're working with as a partner, a lot of the times brands will come with us to me and say, hey, here, I have this strain. I will then take that and develop a menu around that strain, pairing the terpene profiles from the cannabis to the terpenes of my plants, fruits, and herbs. So terpenes aren't just the flavor and aroma of cannabis. They're responsible for the effects that we feel when we use it. So terpenes on their own won't do anything to you. You won't feel any effects from it.
Physically.
But when you combine them with cannabinoids like THC and CBD, we cause a sort of therapeutic entourage effect reaction within your body. So when I'm putting my menu together, I'm focused on terpenes that are going to take you up and then start to bring you down. Right? We want to uplift you and save those sedative terpenes that are going to send you home ready for this great 8 to 10 hour sleep that, you know, cannabis seems to bring with it. So, you know, the focus is building that. I, depending on which recipes I'm using, will determine, you know, which fat I start with in my extraction. You know, if we're infusing, you know, honeys and sugars, we still need to find some sort of fat binder because cannabis is going to bind with saturated fat. So that's the key that we're going to look for. But with the advancement in culinary equipment that we have that are disposable now, it's really cool to finally or to stumble across like new ways and techniques of creating infusions. You know, we can infuse salts and sugars and spices that we can use as finishers. Now, I can't use that salt and put it in my soup base because heat's going to burn away everything, right?
Yeah.
Or I can infuse a Cajun spice. But if I put that on the chicken breast and then grill it, I'm going to burn away all the cannabis. So you have to use it as a finisher, right? You'll use regular Cajun spice on the chicken breast. You barbecue it. You take it off. You hit it with the infused spice at the end, right? Infusing terpenes into rock salt, Malden salt, and then sprinkling that on top of raw fish. You know, we can get really creative on how we want to incorporate it. Ice cream, because it's cold and we're not having to worry about high temperatures. It's a beautiful vessel for cannabis, for terpenes. So lots of unique ways to incorporate it into a menu.
That's awesome.
That is super interesting. There was something that you said about other brands reaching out to you. So talk to me about the mechanisms of traveling. So it might be a dumb question to hear this, but...
No, dumb questions.
When you travel, do you bring your own or do you have to source one?
No, so I travel with, it's almost 500 pounds of equipment. I have two jumbo coolers. So I do a lot of my food prep before I up and leave. But, you know, we only can do these events in states that have recreational legal cannabis. You know, we'll work with brands in those states who will provide the cannabis. They donate it for the event. And then we you know, takes a couple hours to make whatever we need to do. You know, obviously the more time I have, the more creative and we can get with how we incorporate it in. But yeah, we're usually pretty prepared when we come in. So it's 70% done, leaving us, you know, get in the day before. We have 30% left to complete, make our extractions. You know, by offering everyone an individual dose, you have to be very flexible in your menu. So if I'm doing a four-course menu, every menu will have, or every course will have one infused component. That component will be made to three or four different variations of tolerance. So if our first course is a salad and we're doing a vinaigrette, I will make it once with no cannabis, once with a low amount, a medium, and a high, right? And I do that for every course. So I have a lot of wastage at the end of the night, but the staff that I hire in each city, I usually just give it away. And so it's quite funny to read the reviews that my staff leave me because they don't know they're coming to a cannabis dinner. They just know they're coming to a pop-up dinner. And then the reviews like, I don't want to ruin the surprise for you, but you're going to love this event and you're going to love the tips. So work hard.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Tell me about a time that someone, because, okay, it seems that you're gauging the person's experience, right? And so I've on the outside have seen people brag about what their tolerance is. Oh, I could smoke hella weed or anything like that. Tell me about an experience where somebody's braggadocious about what they can handle, and then you're off to the side going, well, we'll see.
Well, so, you know, the way I do it for our guests is I have a recommended dosing scale. It goes 1 to 5. Okay. So we go, this is for the entire meal. So we go 5 milligrams of THC, 10 milligrams, 25, 50, 100. Okay. Now someone who's never done it before, we're going to give them 2.5 milligrams of THC with about 10 milligrams of CBD. Right. It's really important that you're not just isolating THC on its own and giving it to someone with a low tolerance. because that's what's going to bring on the anxiety and paranoia. It's really important you're using full spectrum extractions, all particles of the plant. It's going to help create that more perfect medium that we really want to get them to, right? So now there are people.
That sounds perfect for you, Marlon.
Hey, whatever. And so one of the things, there's a couple of things that we do to stop against like peer pressure, right? So I've got rules. So I go through how my dosing works. And then my first rule I've got zero tolerance for, because we've had issues with it in the past, is I don't allow for peer pressure. And if I catch you, you know, bugging someone in your group, you can't do 2.5. You got to do 25, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't give you any cannabis. We right away stomp that out, and people kind of laugh. And I say, listen, we got a lot of people coming in who've never done this before, right? They don't need to feel like there's any pressure, right?
Yeah, it's a safe space, baby.
We have people who come in with their partners who won't do it, right? They just have the regular food that has no cannabis in it. So, you know, we there's never pressure at all.
So you cater to everybody, which is great.
You're never going to pressure someone to have the wine pairing, right? So you don't have to have it if just your partner wants to. So, you know, we don't allow that. We tell people you don't switch seats because there's a cannabis number assigned to your chair, not your face, right? You start moving around, right? That's
so
Russian roulette.
You get seat numbers. Okay.
Right? Seat numbers, right? Right? And then we don't increase the dose halfway through the dinner. Whatever you start with is what you get till the very end. Now, you know, have I had people, I've had a group say to me in the past, like, oh, I didn't think I could actually get 100 milligrams. So I ate some gummies before coming to the dinner, then had the 100 milligrams, and then had a pretty wild night. And so there has been that in the past. There's also people who can consume more than 100 milligrams, right? I'm one of them. So I want to make sure. I want to make sure those guests are also getting the one thing I say is everyone leaves with the same experience. I don't want anyone leaving feeling too sick or feeling like they didn't get what they paid for. So I come around and take everyone's dose. If you like go, hey, chef, you got a level 6 or 7, right? You go, hey, can I have more? I will give you more. I am not going to say that out loud to the guests who are standing there or who are coming in at 2.5 milligrams when someone wants 200. If they hear that, they're going to go, holy shit, what happens if I get that plate? Right? So it's really kind of like the secret menu, right? You kind of got to know. Yeah. You know, but if you ask, I'll let you know. So
you get that point.
Yeah. But the dinners are like, it's not about coming in and getting super blasted off the brownie, right?
Yeah.
I always say to guests, don't smoke weed before you come. Come having complete clean slate and let this experience kind of take you through it, right? Because everything has been catered to your experience, right? You know, through this process of what I've been doing, you know, I launched in, was it 2 years now? My cookbook came out, Introduction to Culinary Cannabis. And there's about 80 pages of sort of theory on there. We did some culinary cannabis certification programs in Canada, certifying on safety and that. And this year, my big goal and focus is actually getting an actual course out where people can take and learn the proper steps on how to do this. So it's actually what I'm working on right now. We just spent the weekend filming, and come this April, we'll have like an online masterclass that people can come on and take, you know, a course and learn how, whether they just want to be a home cook who wants to make gummies and edibles, or, you know, the inspiring chef out there who wants to start doing their own cannabis pop-up dinners. You know, we've got a real foundation to give you confidence and be responsible, so you can dose safely, because every successful event we do, we're one step closer to normalizing this. And every time someone does an event and someone gets sick or it's done, you know, not safely, it only sets us back a little bit. So, you know, if we can start to sort of standardize practices and you know, take the same mentality we already do as chefs, with allergies and apply it to how we do with cannabis, then that's sort of the goal and focus here for 2024.
Chef, walk me through a menu, like a general menu. I know you have different menus for different people. So like on a normal night, you got four courses. Walk us through a menu real quick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we got Valentine's coming up next week. I'll be up in Portland and Seattle. So we are actually, what's really cool in Seattle is we've had four brand partners that have come in. One of them is a company called Sitka Gold. They make this beautiful Lebanese hash. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're doing is when our guests come in, we've got 40 guests coming. We're going to bring in groups of four actually into the kitchen. So everyone gets about 30 seconds with me before the event ever starts. Get that little quick introduction. I'm doing up this little lamb kafta that I'm going to grill on top of a charcoal yakitori grill. And then I've infused a hummus, ginger turmeric to go with that Lebanese gold hash to give them that real brand correlation. So, you know, food has that power to really make us remember stuff. So that they get that beautiful little touch to begin with. Our first course, once all the guests sit down, I'm doing like a shiitake and sweet potato soup. It's a bird broth using turkey and chicken bones. Just a little bit of white miso in there, some soy. And then we've got bok choy stems, mustard greens. And then I've infused the garlic chili oil. So garlic chili oil goes in the bottom of the bowl. We pour the soup in on top. And the guests will kind of stir that around. It's, you know, it's cold. It's rainy up in the Pacific Northwest. So I thought, you know, let's do a bowl of soup. It's like a nice big hug, warming, welcoming everyone into the event. After that, we're going to go on and we're doing some seared scallops with a kimchi verblanc.
See, now you're talking the language.
You know, coming from Vancouver, my style of cooking, a lot of Asian flavors, a lot of Asian styles and seafood. Of course, moved to Arizona where we have neither. So so I get really excited when I get to go up in Seattle because it's just so much at my fingertips down in the Pike Market. So many great vendors there to get beautiful, fresh seafood. So and then for our main, we're doing a miso glazed 72-hour short rib with a little bit of a demi-glace and some fresh shaved truffle on top. And then for dessert, we're doing a mini croissant cereal, matcha cereal milk, some yuzu toolies, and a little bit of prickly pear gel.
And what's the timing of this? Like, I'm assuming that it's
my service is 90 minutes. My service is 90 minutes. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes 2 hours, like as we get this group of 48, we'll probably be more up into that. But I always aim for 90 minutes. You know, I think about how long I want to be sitting down at a table. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes on these Friday and Saturday night services, people are planning to go out after this dinner and that. So, we try and keep it, you know, it's quick. And now if, you know, I'm booked to come do some private events over the next couple of months where I go into people's houses, it's a little more longer. You know, it is that 3 hour, we do an hour sort of amuse-bouche and charcuterie and interact in the kitchen. But when my pop-up series is called Nomadic Nights. So Nomadic Nights is a 90-minute service usually from first course to last.
Now, we talked about staffing before the show started. When you are staffing, and you kind of gave us a little about how you staff, but when you find your staff, what do you tell them? Because obviously this is something new, and how do they relate to the guest? And, you know, because we're the Modern Waiter podcast, so we're rarely into to service. So we want to know, and we want our audience to know how the service aspect, not just from the chef, but from us, would correlate to what you're doing.
I mean, it's vital. It's so important. And, you know, I use an app that allows me to go on there and in every city weeks ahead of time, say, I need a bartender, I need two runners, I need a line cook, a dishwasher. So I put that all up. Now, when I find someone off the app who kind of goes above and beyond, I usually pull them aside and say, hey, I would love to have you like full time in the city whenever I'm here. It's only, you know, maybe 6 or 7 times a year, but our events are a ton of fun, and the staff mm-hmm. loves getting to work it. Now, you know, the couple nice things are this is a set menu. So if you're going to come in and run out and be a runner for us, you're not having to take anyone's orders. What is vital to the whole operation is, you know, the chef having a service and execution plan that all of the staff can understand. Mm-hmm. We are dosing everyone on an individual dose. And so we already kind of touched on, I have my 1 to 5 mm-hmm. scale. Now, I personally, as the chef, will go around and take everyone's dose. Makes them feel a little more comfortable that the chef came and took it himself. You know, sometimes if it's a bigger event, it may be, you know, my wife will come work with us sometimes. So I'll have her go out. It's someone very close to the operation, again, that people feel comfortable mm-hmm. with. I then come up with our table number, seat numbers. So it's important that it's clear to everyone that, you know, you're going clockwise or whatever way you are counting your seat numbers and table numbers, it's understood. And then you as the chef who's expediting has to be clear, table 1, seat 1, seat 2, seat 3, seat 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know I trained a young chef who's doing it now where he sends all of his low doses out first. So instead of doing them in order, he does it by the strength of the dose. You know, you as the chef can come up with a formula that is going to go well, but you have to make sure your staff understands. One of the things I say to my servers is like, listen, at any point, if you get confused and you just don't know where to drop it off, turn around and come back to the kitchen right away. Don't stand in the dining area in front of the guests.
Yeah, lost. Confused. Exactly.
Who had the number five?
Because they see everything, right?
Of course,
and
yeah.
So it's just stop and come back in, and we can quickly reset and figure it out, and I can go out there. You know, I'm more times than not, we're in an open kitchen, so I see where everyone's going. I am a little bit of the maestro of, you know, conducting people yeah. sometimes. But again, I maybe get a little chefy when people struggle counting. because I think it is a quite easy thing to do.
You would think.
And so when I see people who grasp these things and just like, it's okay, I get it, chef. Yes. And like, okay, these are people we want to keep. You know, this summer in Seattle, last summer, we rented this car passenger ferry in Lake Union, and we built a dinner table and a kitchen on it. And then the middle of the summer day, we toured around. So we're coming back. We're doing really cool experiential events in these cities. And it is, you know, every chain in the link is important to getting mm-hmm. through a perfect service, right? Like, one person is weak or one part of that is broken, it's going to hurt the whole foundation because other people are going to have to try and step in and pick up. So when you can get people who, the thing is I find a lot of times the staff, once they come to our event and they realize it's a cannabis event and maybe they quickly Google who I am and what we're doing, they're all of a sudden like, oh shit, this is awesome. I'm excited to be here. I want that energy, right? Sure. Like that's, you should be excited to be there because we're going to have a lot of fun. You know, it can be a little high pressure when, you know, we do get some of the servers who, you know, maybe don't have anything to do with cannabis and now they're being asked to drop plates off to people who are different dosed. And you can see, but, you know, we're a strong team, whoever comes in. So we've got great leadership to make sure everyone feels good.
What's your biggest stigma that you've had to face during all of this since you've started?
I'm starting to work a lot in the Midwest. Kansas City's mm-hmm. Missouri is an extremely busy state, even going down into the South,
okay.
where there is a perception of what cannabis is. Now, what has been great is I have now cooked for a variety of different mayors in areas where companies you know, bringing me in to do dinners for, you know, we're trying to move cannabis forward so we can take people into a dinner party setting, something they're familiar with,
and make them
change their mind.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I once was hired. They were celebrating that laws had passed in Arizona. There was a dinner for 30 people. I was told only 2 people wanted THC, another 8 wanted CBD, and the rest would have no cannabis. After I was done my opening speech, 28 of 30 people took THC in their dinner. So oh, wow. We converted the whole room. And so I'm constantly coming in. This is an uphill battle. There is no path, you know, we're carving it out here. And so every time we get a new group in, you know, we emphasize the safety aspect of it. And we mm-hmm. let them know, like, bongs, Bob Marley, brownies, they're all cool. I love stoner culture. It's just not in our dinners, right? Mm-hmm. Even the music we're playing is more Motown, 60s, classic. You know, we want that dinner party vibe, right?
Yeah.
We do wake and bake brunches sometimes. Those are hip hop and Bob Marley and fun energy because that's the setting of the event. But,
yeah.
You know, we can change people's minds by bringing them into a setting they're familiar with, are comfortable with, and then educating them, you know, through the power of food, you know, little by little. You know, the key for anyone coming in, and it's very cliche to say, but start low and go slow. It may take you 2 or 3 times of doing edibles to find that right dose. Mm-hmm. But when you do, it's a beautiful thing.
So you have a lot of, I'm going to let you go on this last one. You have your techniques, you're well-versed. What is your experience when you go out, let's say, whether it's breakfast or to a restaurant? Do you carry your own seasonings, or do you carry your little syrups and jams and jellies that you just have to make it special?
No, you know, it's so funny because I was talking about this just the other day with someone. They were asking, like, do you still cook at home? And I was like, that was actually one of the New Year's resolutions of my wife and I, was I need to start cooking for us more because, you know, I did 102 dinners on the road last year. Right.
Wow. Oh, wow.
11
yeah.
months. So I was gone 2 weeks of every month. Boom, boom. And, you know, so for me, I have found my favorite little spots in America. Right.
Okay.
That I really look
mm-hmm.
forward to. I'm doing a little like Instagram food review called the Hole in the Wall now, where in each city, I'm just going to find a dope little hole in the wall review.
The hole in the walls are the best.
So,
they're the best.
That's the best.
They're the best.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, listen, if I'm going to go to a fancy restaurant, right, and I'm paying, you know, a couple $100 to eat,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be critical in my mind. I would never publicly say anything. But, yes, I'm going to be, hey, if I'm going to a hole in the wall, right, like I am just happy someone else is cooking. I'm respecting that love and whatever's going into this, and it's not me sitting there doing it. You know, when friends get to cook for me, that's got to be my favorite, right? So
I'll cook some French toast and pancakes for you. That is awesome, man. So tell everybody what to expect from you next. Where to find you.
Yeah. So we've, you know, the great thing last year, we were kind of piecing the year together by every quarter. This year I've planned all my tour dates for Nomadic Nights right up to the end of summer.
Okay.
To find out about those dates, you got to follow me on Instagram. I am on the other pages, but everything goes through Instagram. I'm just too old for TikTok and everything else. I just don't have the time. So Instagram is where you're going to get the info. You've got to ask us for a link to the dinner. Nothing is shared publicly. Mm-hmm. Everything is kind of privately done. So just reach out. Hey, you know, Ohio has just turned recreational. So I've got a big tour coming up. First week of April, we're Cleveland, Columbus, Dayton, Cincinnati. So exploring new territories of the country. And then this April, the introduction to culinary cannabis cooking class coming out. You'll be able to take it at your own house and really have the fundamentals, again, to be confident with your dosing and to dose accurately and to dose safely. So
what is your price point in general? You don't have to give me an exact number, but I'm sure everything has different prices.
So yeah,
$4 signs, $3 signs.
Our nomadic nights can be anywhere from $150 to $200. We do have a chef's table at every dinner. That's an extra $125. You get three additional courses seated at the service table with us. In some cities, we work with brands who will pay half the price, so we can do tickets at $100. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is there's a ton of overhead with traveling.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Right. And sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, why can't you do more of the, like, our brunches are $75, which are great, but there's just a lot of overhead. And, you know, I can't wait for the day that I could open up a brick and mortar and be stand pat and people could come in. But I'm also loving touring, loving getting to travel around. I've been in America 2 years now, and I have seen more of this country than I ever thought I would. I think I understand it so much better now. And, I encourage more Americans, get out and travel the middle of the country, go see the rest of the country. And,
No, it wasn't exuberant. I feel like you were priced in what I expected to be, especially because you're going to a house or you're going somewhere that's an event. So I just wanted to see where your realm was at, but that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and Danny and I are going to make sure we come see you. Either we'll come sit down or we come work for you.
Yeah.
We know our table numbers.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. This was I was listening the whole time, taking it all in. Great information. I'm so pleased that we're able to do this.
Maybe I'll just leave it on this is, you know, to the young chefs and if you do want to come out and be part of our events, reach out chefs and ask to come stage for time, you know, come in, help us in the kitchen. I met a young kid in Kansas City. He works for me full time. I take him everywhere now. My eyes are open. I'm looking for people. This 420, we have six 420 events happening. Six
That's
dinners.
Awesome.
These are five other chefs who I've helped develop to go out there and do this responsibly. So, you know, we're growing. Nothing is full-time, but there's opportunity out there. And we're looking for people who can be responsible and energetic and charismatic. So, hit me up if you're interested. We got space for you.
And let them know that Instagram, I'm going to post it in the show notes, but let them know and then.
Tell them where to find you on Instagram, all the good stuff.
My Instagram, @the_nomadcook. You can go on there. I've got a link tree to everything we've been on and that, but you can find my cookbook, Introduction to Culinary Cannabis, out there, and then our class coming up. But hit us up on Instagram. And Nomadic Nights coming to a city near you.
Love it.
If you enjoy our show, definitely give us a like, comment, and we are doing this for you each and every week. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVille. Subscribe, people.
Thank you immensely, Travis. We'll see you next time.
Later.
I'm a sinner. Smoker and a drinker and a liar. I'm on fire. I'm the H-E-A-D off the streets of D.C. And I think I got a little problem.
I can't stop smoking.